Good morning, and welcome to this special BYU 150 Sesquicentennial Forum Assembly. My name is Justin Collings, and I serve as BYU's Academic Vice President. This year's sesquicentennial celebrations allow us to honor our past, envision our future, and highlight the divine gifts of light that BYU cultivates in all of us. We will be blessed this morning to hear from four past or current BYU presidents. Elder Merrill J. Bateman, who served as BYU president from 1996 to 2003. Elder Cecil O. Samuelson, who served from 2003 to 2014. President Kevin J. Worthen, who served from 2014 to 2023. And President C. Shane Reese, who became BYU's 14th president on May 1st, 2023. We will hear a special message from two former BYU presidents who are unable to be with us in person in the Marriott Center this morning.
My life was changed like a tsunami. It was a major, major reset in my life with eternal consequence, I'm bold to say. The two decisions that I made that changed my life forever was to serve a mission and enroll at Brigham Young University. And those two set my course forever. When I was inaugurated, I was at the inaugural dance with Pat, whom I miss dearly, dearly, and can't say enough, as we both lost a spouse. But I was with her at the dance, the inaugural dance, and I looked out the east windows of the Wilkinson Center where the dance was being held. And I looked up on the hill, and the Y was lit. It was in a day that we didn't light it very often. It wasn't lit then like it is now. And my sweet little wife looked up at me and said, "They're lighting that for you." And I just wept like I am now. I just wept that a place I love that much and a place to which I owed that much and the friends that I'd made there that I loved so much, but I just wept over that lit, that outlined Y on the hill. And it still means that to me.
I am profoundly grateful to BYU for teaching me what an education was. It was in classes that I often could recognize having a profound effect on my life, whatever I chose as an occupation. And the example of that is my freshman English class. I can't think of any class I took at BYU as profoundly useful to me in the various things I have been asked to do in life, occasionally in community service and government occupations, such as being a law clerk in the United States Supreme Court. The freshman English class I had from Oria B. Tanner was number one, as I look back on the significance of introducing me to education, how to read, how to write, how to judge, how to use my time in the learning process. I look at that wonderful freshman English teacher as number one in my undergraduate experience. And the other number one was what I received in advanced understanding of the gospel in the various religion classes I took. I know that BYU is the Lord's university because it was established by a prophet. It has been carried on with prophetic leadership to this day, and it places the highest priority for its students and its faculty and its administration and its position in the community to furthering the ideals, the teachings, and the values of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what BYU means to me.
President Oakes and President Holland, if you're somehow listening, we love you and we sustain you and we pray for you as you fulfill the mighty responsibilities of your callings as the two senior apostles in the Lord's church. Your alma mater could not be more proud of you or more grateful for your service. In that spirit of gratitude, we also want to acknowledge the memory and legacy of President Rex E. Lee, who served as president of BYU from 1989 to 1996, and who was taken from us too early after a grueling and courageous battle with cancer. Today, as we honor a current and past president, we also want to recognize current and past First Ladies of Brigham Young University, where we first honor the legacy and memory of Sister Marilyn Bateman. We're also pleased to have with us in the Marriott Center Janet Chamberlain with her husband Wayne, Sharon Samuelson, Peggy Worthen, and Wendy Reese. We love you and we're grateful to have you with us. It is a thrill and an honor for us to have with us this morning Presidents Merrill J. Bateman, Cecil O. Samuelson, Kevin J. Worthen, and C. Shane Reese. Will you please join me in extending a warm Cougar welcome to these four remarkable leaders? President Bateman, we're going to give the first word to you. You were my president when I arrived on the BYU campus a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago. They all arrived when I was the president, but arrived
in hospitals. Would you kick us off and share something about your feelings about the unique prophetic mission of Brigham Young University?
Thank you, brothers and sisters, for being here. It's an honor for us to be with you. I'm going to talk about words from three prophets and then a story. The first prophet I want to begin with is President Kimball, Spencer W. Kimball. In 1982, he gave a devotional here in this big, beautiful room. And it was the beginning of the second century for BYU. And he made the following quote: "As previous first presidencies have said, and we say again unto you, we expect, we do not simply hope, that Brigham Young University will become a leader among the great universities of the world. In fact, I've looked at data, and that's happening. We expect it to become a unique university." And I'm going to really introduce the word unique. Unique in the sense that it's the by far the finest world university that brings together academic work with spiritual quality. That's what's unique. President Brigham Young's counsel to Carl G. Mazur: "You ought not to teach even the alphabet without the Spirit of God." 10 years later, President John Taylor was visited by Sister Zina Young Williams, a daughter of Brigham Young. It had been 10 years since Brigham had given his quote. Sister Young was very concerned about the financial difficulties at the university and wanted to speak to President Taylor about them. After listening to her, President Taylor said, "My dear child, I have something of importance to tell you that I know will make you happy. I've been visited by your father. He came to me in the silence of the night, clothed in brightness, and told me things of great importance. He told me that the school being taught by Brother Mazur was accepted in the heavens and was a part of the great plan of life and salvation. It has a bright future, and that Christ himself is directing and has care over this school. For a short time, I wish to speak about the uniqueness of BYU in the sense that it brings academic and spiritual things together. In the year 2000, the Palmyra Temple was dedicated. It was the first time Palmyra had a temple. Prior to the dedication, the First Presidency gave instructions that the student body of the university was to attend the, those that wanted to attend were to attend the film in the wards, in the chapels here in Provo. I did a little bit of investigation, and I determined that very few students would be able to get into those chapels, because the ward members wanted to also be a part. They had a strong interest in the place where the first vision occurred. Consequently, I asked President Hinckley if the services could be shown in the Marriott Center, although there was some concern that it would be difficult to feel the spirit of the services in this large space. Permission was granted. Students with recommends were asked to be in their seats 30 minutes before the meeting began. I arrived early and took a seat on the floor. As I entered this space through one of the tunnels, I immediately noticed the extreme quiet in the room. There were no sounds. There were no whisperings. Almost every student had a set of scriptures, and each was quietly reading or pondering the events of the next 2 hours. A quiet, reverent attitude prevailed throughout the dedication. Near the end, and following the dedicatory prayer, 20,000 students who were here stood, and with white handkerchiefs waving, repeated the Hosanna shout. It was electric. The sea of handkerchiefs were like fields of grain waving in the wind. I have attended a number of temple dedications, but not one like that one. Following the closing hymn and prayer, the Holy Spirit pervaded every corner of this building. We watched President Hinckley and others walk out of the celestial room in Palmyra. I then approached the microphone and excused those in attendance to return to their classes. The few of us on the floor stood and waited for the audience to leave, but no one moved. After another minute, I went to the microphone, again invited those in attendance to return to class. Slowly, quietly, people arose and left the building. It was one of the great spiritual moments of my time at this university. The building literally became an extension of the Palmyra Temple for the 2 hours of the meeting. Brigham Young University is a great university, but more than that, it's a great temple of learning. Each building on this campus has been dedicated to the Lord as a house of learning. So grateful to be part of it.
Thank you, President Bateman, for that sacred and moving experience and for your ongoing faith and conviction about the destiny and mission of this university. A few years ago, President Dallin H. Oaks, speaking on this campus, said, "I firmly believe that it is the destiny of Brigham Young University to become what the prophetic statements have predicted it will become. But inherent in being the university of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the reality that this great goal will not be attained in exactly the same way that other universities have achieved their greatness. With your help," he continued, "it will become the great university of the Lord, not in the world's way, but in the Lord's way." President Samuelson, you spoke memorably about the BYU way and our need to do things in the Lord's way. Would you reflect a little bit about some of your experiences as president and doing things the Lord's way?
Well, thank you, President Reese, and all of your outstanding colleagues for this opportunity to be a great blessing and be part of this 150th anniversary celebration. One of the ways we sought to help BYU become greater in the Lord's way can be demonstrated by the many small miracles that surrounded the beginning of the Gordon B. Hinckley Alumni and Visitor Center to the campus. I was on this beautiful campus with some regularity even before I received the assignment to come full-time. After arriving and visiting with students, staff, and faculty, as well as with many of our loyal supporters and financial donors, it became apparent that even with such wonderful facilities then available, one special thing we felt we lacked: a single place that would allow our BYU campus family to gather together with alumni, friends, and distinguished visitors, where they could learn and understand so much of what makes BYU unique. That would include a clear description of our dependence, relationship and support of our prophets and church leaders, the history of the development of our university and the restoration of the gospel, and particularly and especially our key role in helping our students and all who might come here become more loyal, effective, and productive disciples of Jesus Christ. Early in 2004, I was approached by three of our most loyal and generous supporters, Jack Wheatley, King Hussein, and Ira Fulton. They shared great enthusiasm for the notion of a new building, and they then offered to raise all of the money for the project so that there would be no request for church funds to accomplish this great task. They had one condition, however, and that was the building must be named for the prophet of our, at that time, President Gordon B. Hinckley. I felt joy at their proposal, but also great trepidation because I knew that there was a firm policy to not name facilities for living church leaders. After many prayers and a few sleepless nights, I raised the matter with Elder Henry B. Eyring, who was then Commissioner of Church Education. He listened carefully and seemed supportive, but suggested that if I were to present the idea to the Board of Education at that point, it might be embarrassing to President Hinckley and uncomfortable for everyone else. He did suggest that I quietly arrange to visit with President Hinckley's counselors, President Monson and President Faust, and seek their guidance. I was soon able to meet together with President Monson and President Faust, and they gently listened but said that if we were to really be committed to the project, that I needed to see President Hinckley privately myself and present the matter to him. I asked if they'd be there with me, and they smiled and said no. I was then able to schedule an appointment with President Hinckley shortly thereafter. I sensed he had been briefed on our plan, but this was not acknowledged. I explained the project, including the proposal and conditions of Brothers Wheatley, Hussein, and Fulton, and our desire to not ask for church funds. With great reluctance and many more questions, President Hinckley said we could present the matter to the Board of Education and see if they would approve it. Of course, their approval was unanimous and enthusiastic, and we went ahead with the many details of planning, research, and preparation. Interestingly, when word of approval became public, there was great excitement, with many wanting to contribute. While the major donors were true to their commitments, over 70,000 individuals also donated to the project, including thousands of students and alumni. With the blessings of heaven and the very hard work of many, we were able to break ground for the building on June 23, 2006, President Hinckley's 96th birthday. And just shortly thereafter, 1 year later, on June 23, 2007, President Hinckley's 97th birthday, the building was dedicated. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the many miraculous circumstances that made this beautiful addition to our campus possible. Thank you.
Thank you, President Samuelson, for that reminder of the miracles that lie behind every single one of the temples of learning on this campus. Would any of the other presidents like to share thoughts about what it means to become the Lord's University in the Lord's way?
What a privilege to have the Lord as the leader and a prophet to take care of his desires.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's wonderful. Amen. Earlier, we were able to watch a brief excerpt of President Holland speaking so movingly about his own inauguration as BYU president and that moving experience of seeing the why lit up for him. 4 years ago on this campus, he also spoke of an earlier experience connected with the why on the mountain. When, as a seven-year-old passing by on the freeway, he asked, "Mom, what is that big why on that mountain?" And she responded, "Jeff, it stands for the university here in Provo, Brigham Young University." And seven-year-old Jeff Holland said, "Well, it must be the greatest university in the world." Speaking 73 years later, he commented, "And so for me it is." And then he added, "I bless each one of you with every righteous desire of your heart, and I thank you for giving your love and loyalty to BYU, to students like me and my beloved wife. Please," he added, "from one who owes so much to this school and who has loved her so deeply for so long, keep her not only standing, but standing for what she uniquely and prophetically was meant to be." President Worthen, I know you share President Holland's great love for this university and for its students. Would you share something about how that love developed and how it changed and deepened during your service as president of BYU?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I have my own kind of young Jeff Holland moment. The first time, as I can recall, coming on campus, I was 4 or 5 years old. My father was getting his master's degree in education leadership while he was teaching. He'd come up in the summers and take a class or two. On one occasion, I was able to come with him, and as near as I can remember, that's the first time I was on campus. And for some reason I couldn't explain then, and I can't explain fully now, I felt this was the most wonderful place in the world. Now, part of it may have been that there was ice cream involved, and I'm sure that was part of it. But there was something, and it wasn't too long after that that I first went to Disneyland, and I thought BYU is just as cool as Disneyland. As president, my love for the university increased, and I began to understand in more detail what it was that part of what it is that made that such a feeling that I felt. And it deepened my testimony of these three things. Number one is the Lord's direction and heavenly influence on what happens at this university. President Bateman quoted John Taylor and others who talked about the leadership of this university, at Christ being the directing helm of that. And it was for me an opportunity to see the heavens open up, not only for me, but for members of the President's Council, for faculty, for students, being directed by Heavenly Father. It came to me first when I began to really focus in on that at my own inauguration, when President Eyring, who was then commissioner, he was in the board of trustees and the vice chair, in which he talked about, he said, there will come moments that of what he called apparent crisis, that he said that I would be at peace because of the course that was set and maintained by the leaders who had gone before, which included these two, but includes prophets, seers, and revelators. I saw that happen many times during my administration, no more obviously than during COVID in 2020, when there were a lot of decisions that had to be made, and there had to be decisions made without full information, at least from a scientific viewpoint. And to see not only the administration receive inspiration, but the faculty. As I recall, we sort of, it went from, we didn't have any COVID protocol. We talked about it on a Thursday, and we opened up next on Tuesday. I'm looking at President Reese. He was the academic vice president at the time that had this task. It was a miracle. And through keeping that school open throughout was the result of that kind of inspiration that came from direction from heaven. But it wasn't limited, as I say, just to the administration, nor even to the faculty. During that same summer, many of you will remember, there was the death of George Floyd, which caused great unrest throughout the United States and here in Provo, including on campus. One of the ways in which people expressed their feelings about this event, and their feelings were very deep, was professional athletes would put something with a message on the back of their jerseys about what they stood for one way or the other. They were evaluated and criticized or praised depending on what the mission was. Our football team that fall was in the midst of all of this and trying to decide what to do. And in a players-only meeting, they said, so what is our message to the world? What are we going to say? Are we going to emphasize diversity, equity, inclusion? Are we going to emphasize something else? Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, whatever it could be. Through their own inspiration, they came up with what it was a perfect solution. On the front of the T-shirt, it said, we are one, unity. On the back, it said, love one another. And those two are connected. And a great example of people receiving inspiration following gospel principles here on campus, including the students. The second thing is that I found and is essential to what I felt on campus was the light that comes from everyone here, but particularly from the students. As a president, I came to appreciate that if I wanted somebody to be impressed by the university, whether they be donors, whether they be skeptics, whether they be an accreditation team, whoever it was, ambassadors who came on campus, get them out among the students. And if they're out among the students, something about them changed. It was interesting to see, as you visited with many of them, they struggled to sort of explain what it was they were feeling. They didn't quite know how to explain it, but they knew they'd felt something. On one occasion, one of them said, she said to me, when I asked if she had any questions, she said, do you have a happiness initiative on campus? I said, a what? She said, a happiness initiative. I said, no, explain. And she said, well, all the students seem so happy. I've never been at a university where the students are so happy. How do you explain that? I gave what I think is maybe the second best answer that I could come up with. I didn't think of the first one. I'll tell you that in a second. The second one I thought was, this is just the way they are. Before we have anything to do with them, they've had 18 years of training in their homes and everything else. They just come this way. We don't really do anything for it. It was about 2 hours later that it dawned on to me I'd missed the most obvious missionary opportunity in the world. When she said, is this a happiness initiative? I would say, yeah, we call it the plan of happiness. And if we can arrange for a couple of our students to visit with you and they can explain everything about the plan of happiness that's there. But I just came to appreciate that's what part of what I felt and what they were feeling is the fruits of gospel living manifested in the lives of our students. And that led to the third key that I've had. I've come to believe that at least partial fulfillment of the promise made in the Book of Mormon in 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, there shall none come into this land save they shall be brought by the hand of the Lord. And it comes to find out that I wasn't the only one who had had a sort of BYU experience before being here as a BYU student or a faculty member. Coming to visit with the faculty members as president, come to understand almost all of them had a BYU story about what they felt and what they felt individually for them it meant to be here. Many of the students did the same. It took them sometimes some years to figure out what that was in advance, but some come knowing already what was there. And it's that combination of having direction from prophetic leaders and ongoing other leaders and the inspiration available to all of us, to then being willing to see that light play itself out in the lives of the students and others, and then recognizing that there is something for each one of us to do. God has brought us here on this campus, each of us individually, for some reason that can contribute to his building of the kingdom.
So beautifully expressed, and I've always been so inspired, President Wortham, by your love for our students here at BYU. President Reese, you've sounded the clarion call for us to try in our day to fulfill the prophecies of the past and to become the university that President Kimball and others have foretold. And you've brought to this assignment a great spirit and fire. Extends to crowd surfing after football games. If you're interested, BYU is searching for a new academic vice president. The posting will be up after this meeting. President Franklin S. Harris, who was president of BYU 100 years ago, said, "There has grown out of the history of BYU a particular mandate that must be respected and a certain fire that must be kept burning. The first task of the future is to preserve at the institution the spirit that comes to us from the past, the true spirit of Brigham Young University. This spirit places character above learning and indelibly burns into the consciousness of the student the fact that the most enduring joy is dependent on spiritual growth, which looks toward eternal progression." President Reese, I wonder what counsel you might have for students today to keep alive the spirit that comes to us from the past, to keep the BYU banner flying high and the BYU spirit burning bright.
Well, I love this question, Justin, because I love history and I love our students. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But if it's okay, we didn't quite get the chance to properly recognize the first ladies who are here in attendance. So Janet and Sharon and Peggy and Wendy, will you stand up so that we can give you an applause as well? You know, as I've thought about this question, Justin shared it with us in advance. We had a little bit of cheat sheet that we could look at in advance. I have reflected on something that I think, Justin, I might have a unique perspective here among these presidents. You see, when Wendy and I were called to meet with the first presidency, President Oaks was in the room. And he spent time as a former president of this university giving us some sweet, tender, powerful counsel. So, President Oaks, we have this deep love and respect for President Oaks. Wendy and I were in Jerusalem shortly after we were invited to accept this assignment. And the very first phone call I received in Jerusalem was from President Holland. And President Holland talked to us and gave us mentoring advice about what lay ahead and his love for this institution. So President Holland has had such a profound and deep impact on us. When I came as a very new, very fresh, very unfamiliar freshman, pretty much lost in this place, President and Sister Lee were the president. They had powerful influence on our lives. We're so grateful for President and Sister Lee and for the deep impact they had on a young freshman as he was here at BYU trying to learn his way. That was your first year as well. So we started together. Likewise, President Bateman, you were the president when I first interviewed here at BYU. When I started my career as a faculty member, and what a remarkable, powerful leader you were for me as someone who was just starting to learn what it meant to learn in an atmosphere of study and faith. So as a faculty member, it's such great admiration for you and your leadership. And President Samuelson, you continued to lead me, but most of you don't know this. President Samuelson interviewed me when he was a general authority before he became the president. And as he reminded me today, he interviewed me twice. I'm not going to say what happened in the first interview, but I passed the second one. So, President Samuelson, your leadership has meant the world to me, and I'm grateful that you passed me on that interview, because I may not have been here today. And President Worthen.
We need to tell him.
I'm not going to tell him. President Worthen, this is always going to be hard for me, because I came to BYU, and as I mentioned, I was a little bit of a lost freshman. And my bishop, before I decided I was going to pack it in and go home, my bishop said, you should go talk to my brother before you decide to pack it in. And my bishop at home was Bishop Clyde Worthen, who was President Worthen's brother. And so I went into President Worthen's office, ready to go home. And President Worthen knew me by name. He spent time with me, and he let me know that he thought if I would just stick with it, that I would grow to love BYU like he did. He's been my mentor, my friend, ever since that day. And so I'm grateful for all of these amazing leaders who have had such a profound impact on me. When I think of your question, Justin, I'm getting to your stump speech.
This isn't the first time I've heard him answer the question he wanted to answer.
It's for you students, and what is it that you can learn from the history of BYU that will help you keep the flame of fire? And when I think of history, I think about events, and I think about dates, and I think about buildings, and I think about places, and those are all aspects of history. But the most important aspects of history for me, when I look back at history and I want to learn something from history, it's the people that have made the difference. And when you look at the history of BYU, if you study the people who have had a hand in the founding of this institution, all of them shared some basic characteristics that I think will be a lesson, and the thing that I hope and pray for you as our students, those who are going to carry this flame of BYU as we stand here in the middle of the second half of our second century as a university. We look to the past so that we can learn from those lessons of history, but we're also looking forward. And so those of us that have been presidents of this institution, we look to you, our students, with such great sense of hope for what you're going to go out and do. I hope you'll remember the three lessons that I've seen in common for all of those who have helped to build this fire, that fire that we hope that you keep alight in your lives. The first is that the defining characteristics of those people are that they had an incredible sense of gratitude. Gratitude for those people who have made a difference in their lives, whether it be your elementary school teacher, whether it be a sibling who inspired you on your path to learning, whether it be your parents who gave you a love for learning, or whether it be a faculty members during your time here at BYU. I hope that you'll develop and cultivate a healthy sense of gratitude. Gratitude for the people who have made a difference in your lives. The second is that I hope that you have a clear sense of the mission of this place. And not just a sense of mission like Justin Collings has or Kevin Worthen has. By the way, these two incredible leaders of this institution have committed to memory our 2-page mission statement. I can barely remember my name at the end of the day, and they're remembering the entire mission statement. It is an incredible thing. But it's not just the statement of our mission that is important. You see, I hope that you can see yourself in that mission. If there is one hope, one aspiration that I have for all of you as you enter our doors, is that you can see yourself in our mission. That you can see how you're going to fulfill that mission as you come into the doors of BYU. You work hard, you study, you pass some exams, you fail others. I know that's probably not funny this time of year. But that through all of that, the happy times, the sad times, the trials, the excitement, the adulation, we hope that you see yourself in our mission. And lastly, something that was absolutely common to every one of the people who have had an influence on this place, this Brigham Young University, is that they had a deep desire and love to serve our Master Jesus Christ. We hope that you leave here committed as disciples of Jesus Christ. And I have to tell you that as the president of this institution each one of you, I know that you share that. There is something that happens that we get a vision for all of you. You see, whether it be at a football game, seeing you cheering our Cougars on with excitement and adulation, and I see the excitement in your eyes, or whether it be in my Univ 101 class, I see up close and personal all of you and how you have gratitude within your eyes. You have a sense of who you are in the mission of BYU and that you have a deep love of our Savior Jesus Christ. Or whether it be as this place is filled for a devotional or as President Bateman just talked about, as an extension of the Palmyra Temple. Your amazing faces, the spirit you bring, the hope and love that you have for our Savior Jesus Christ, those are our best wishes for you, our students. And we know that that is what is going to help keep that flame of the true spirit of BYU alive here.
Thank you so much, President Reese. As we reach the close of this wonderful time we've spent together, I wonder if President Worthen, President Samuelson, and President Bateman could each maybe give these students two sentences of counsel and testimony. President Worthen, would you go first?
Be happy to, and I'll just echo what President Reese said. If there's one message, it is that you are a child of God, and He loves you more than you can comprehend. And one of the blessings of being a president of the university is you get, commensurate with the stewardship, a greater feeling and sense of God's love for all of His children. I bear my witness that He does lead this university, as I said, not just through the president or the president's council or deans or associate deans, through every individual here. And it can be a remarkable thing as you come to understand your potential and the infinite power of the atonement. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. President Samuelson.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you. It's wonderful to be on this campus with those that have some understanding of why it is that we're here and what it means. And I'm grateful to share my witness with you that this is the Lord's University, that by gaining all that we can and contributing all we must, that our lives will be sustained and prepared to do all of the other things that our Heavenly Father wishes for us to do. This is a great place, and you're great people. We know that you have to work hard. We know that you have times when you might be discouraged. But the gospel is true, and you are true, and BYU is true. And of this I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. President Bateman.
As I saw the four sisters stand, I thought about a feeling I had when I came into the room that there would be another sister here. That Sister Bateman was here. I'd like her to stand. Thank you, honey. She loved this university. The greatest thing that could happen to us was to walk across the campus and shake the hands of the students and staff and faculty that we met. What was also interesting was to see their eyelids go up. That's President Bateman. I was so grateful to have the opportunity to serve here. This is God's university. I did some work on the progress of the different departments over the last 57 years. What was interesting to me is almost all of them have improved their position rank-wise in the U.S. by double, where they were in the 40th place 20 years ago. They're now in the 20th or the 10th or the 1st. I'm so proud of what the faculty and staff and students are doing. I bear witness that this is a unique university. And say it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. 3 years ago, I was in a small meeting on this campus, and President Worthen was giving the final remarks, and I was sitting not far from him. And I felt a clear spiritual impression saying, "This is not just a good man. This is a great man, and I'm blessing you with the chance to learn from him." We've been blessed today, this morning, to learn from four great men. Thank you for what you've given to this university. We love you. Will you all please join me in thanking our wonderful panelists for today.